Okay, so yeah, so there's two interesting goings for tonight we have in store for you. One is the following. He goes, this going is brought from a pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk in Mishlei says, "Kol darkeish zach beinach." Whatever a person's derech is, seems to be pure in his own eyes. V'toichin rucha is Hashem. But really, in the inside, it's all about Hashem. Golal Hashem masach v'yikonu machshei sech. Okay, so basically, essentially, what is the going saying here? It says the following: Kol darkei ha'adam nimshachim achar harotzin harishon. A person's derech very often is shaped by their initial rotzon. I guess we would call it their instinctive rotzon. So kol darkei ha'adam nimshachim achar harotzin harishon. So a person generally is his behavior will be determined by his first rotzon, by his instinctive reaction to something. And whatever he wants to do in the initial rotzon, he considers it to be the most holiest and purest thing. So sometimes a person is misupik. What should I do? Right? And they say, well, let me go with my gut. So he says, your gut is not always kosher. Your gut is not always the correct thing to do. Who is going to say that my rotzon rishon, right, my instinctive rotzon to something is the correct one? So that's the problem. Sometimes we tend to think that whatever we do first, whatever our instinctive rotzon is, that's correct, right? So, you know, the goyim is saying you should never make a decision based on your first gut reaction, because who knows if that's the correct one? What we react to is full of negias, is full of our own bias to things. Okay. So, but if you're not pure and you go with your first reaction, you're going to go all the way down. So what do you have to do? You have to ask yourself one question when you're making a decision. Not, what's my gut? Go with your gut.
Yeah.
That's not, unless you're a pure person. If you're a poor pure person, you know, someone at one time asked for Brian Cutler, there's a machlekes between the Rosh and someone else. The other Rishon had a proof to his point, and the Rosh had no proof. And the Rosh said, "Libi oimerli." I think Pshat is like this. So someone asked Byron, "What's stronger, the Raya of a Rishon, or the Rosh who has no Raya?" So he said, it's Pasha, the Rosh is better. Because the Libi Oimer Li of the Rosh includes the whole Torah. And the Raya of that other Rishon is just that one Raya. Right? So by a Tzaddik, yes, the Libi Oimer Li is Torah. That's obvious. It's Pasha. But by a regular person, Libi Oimer Li is not such a strong, you know, we have a lot of tendencies to think about things and justify things in a way that our first reaction will not necessarily be the correct one. Okay, so a guy comes to shul collecting money. What's he collecting? Middle davening? Does he have the pay? Whatever. And no, Lamana MS, whatever. So hold on. Maybe figure out a way to give him stock a different way. Maybe whatever. I have to take a step back. Who says, you know? Or when it's a personal decision to make. Right? A lot of times a person will go with the first, go just, yeah, that's Lashem Shemayim, and it's not always. So how do you know? The best way is, obviously the question you have to ask yourself is one question. Like it says in the Pasuk, Gol El Hashem Ma'asecha. put your ma'isim in front of Hashem and ask, does Hashem want me to do this or not? Yeah. You know, the best way to know the answer to that question, generally, if you're afraid of this, is to ask someone else. All right? You don't know what to do. You think your reaction would be to do this. But, you know, maybe it's for certain reasons. Right? Maybe it's because, you know, this is going to be easier for you. Maybe it's going to be cheaper for you. Maybe it's because you don't want to step in a certain, you know, sometimes a person will offer someone a job and you say, nah, I'm going to do that. Really, whatever the case may be. So the best way to get to the bottom of something is bring it to someone else's attention. Because if you speak
it also depends who you ask, Rabbi.
That's definitely true. But one
Rabbi,
thing,
there's a kosher cruise on Yeshiva week. Should we go or no?
Like I said last time, what's kosher about the cruise? The food or the whole cruise?
We start with the food. Let's start with let's have a base.
Okay. So if it's just the food, so it's not necessarily a kosher cruise. So,
but it depends what you do on the cruise. You stay alone in your room and so okay, we'll talk about it offline.
Right. I mean, correct. But correct. Let's talk about it offline. So the point is though, that yes, you need to, a person can make all sorts of justifications. Oh, I need a break. I need to relax. This is the best atmosphere, whatever. And really, there's other things pushing them to making the decision. So discuss it with a chaver, discuss it with someone, because otherwise you will not know if what you're deciding is because that's the Das Torah, or the reason you're deciding that is just because it's Das Shaitan. Okay? That's the first piece of advice from the Goyin for tonight. The second interesting daher is the following. He says that One of the common, comparisons made in the Musa Sfarim is Chole HaNefesh are compared to Chole HaGuf. Someone who has a problem is spiritually follows the same path as someone who has a physical ailment. And he has to treat it as such. Like the Rambam says, you go to a doctor, so you go to a chacham. You got to address it the same way you would address a physical ailment. You can't just ignore it. It gets worse with time. There's certain types of medications you got to take. Only the experts know it. Okay. So he says over here, so he says there's three ways to address a physical ailment. Number one is you could address the reason for it. So for example, let's say a person has an infection which causes them to get very itchy. So there's three things you could do. Scratch yourself. You could train yourself to ignore the itchiness, which is a major level. You train yourself that the itchiness doesn't bother you. Or you could treat the infection. Right? So, right? Number Aleph, Shemeser Hasiba, you get rid of the problem. Umenake hapsoilus hanimtza badam. Get rid of the infection. That's the first way to do it. The second way, shemoytzi haleicha nirim v'chutz, you get rid of the symptom. Number three, shemiraki ha'or v'amorsa sheneskasha v'ateva doiche me'alea kora. You get it to not, you know, it's there, but you just put a cream on and that's it. Move on. So you don't deal with it at all, right? You're just constantly taking time on it, right? Or you put some cream and that's it. So he said, came to reforce a nefesh. The same exists on a spiritual level. Someone has a problem. So they can, number one, let's start with number three. Shmirakech Yitzray b'sigufim uvizichron yom amitzam agodol oedesh. So I would say that the three are a little different. The three levels in physical ailment are either you treat the infection, or you train yourself not that it shouldn't bother you, or taka bothers you, and you taka basically, you scratch it until it pops, and then you put on some cream. You just go through that system all the time. Okay? You don't treat it at all. You just keep on scratching, and then you eventually put on cream. So he says, there's three ways to deal with your yetzara. One way to deal with the yetzara is shemurakech yetzra b'sigufim uvizichron yom amisa. You basically keep on doing averis and try to catch yourself, and then do tshuva, and then, you know, fight back, and constantly it's a struggle. Which one am I going to do? Which one am I not going to do? Right? So you're struggling your whole life. You're up against it your whole life. And then, you know, even when you push it away, it's because it was painful to push it away. You had to be masker the yom hamisa. You have to convince yourself, say, buddy, I know you really want this, but if you do this, you're not going to have a good future. And you're fighting yourself the whole time. The third one, the second one, that you trained yourself, you've distanced yourself enough from this particular thing that it's just not on your mind anymore. But you never really dealt with the problem. So a guy has a gambling problem, right? So one thing is he basically never dealt with it, and he's going into back in and out of rehab, and you know, and basically, you know, he's like basically struggling with his whole life. There are tekufas that he's better, tekufas he's worse, but he never really dealt with it properly. But you know, it's not destroying his life completely because he has it in check somewhat, but basically it's there. The other way is he's like, you know what? So I had dealt with someone that had this problem once, and he basically went to all of the casinos and he banned himself. So you can put yourself on the banned list so that if the guy, so that first off, they recognize you, they throw you out. And second of all, if you win anything, they don't give you the money. So there'll be no point to go. Now, believe it or not, people can still go even after the ban because it's the thrill of winning. It's not about the money. But as a matter of fact, this guy told me it's crazy. It's crazy how much this guy, you know, he's much better now. But this guy told me that there was next to him another guy that was also banned. And whenever they would each win, they would just give each other the winnings. So they just, because I'm trading off the winnings. So because the point is you can't keep it yourself, but you can. But the other guy would like switch seats with him. They're like, oh no, I won, whatever. I don't know, crazy story. And the point is that so you can make tricks. You know what? Instead of going to work this street, which every day I go to work, I pass the casino, I'm gonna go to work a different way. Or bam. It's more than the first guy. The first guy is struggling with it. Well, this guy, he's over it. I banned myself. I can't go into a casino even if I wanted to. This is not on my mind anymore. It's not on your mind anymore. But Lamaisa, you're a gambler. You never really changed. Nothing. You just found a way that, you know, now the Nisayan is not here. Well, you didn't do. You didn't really change. The third level is you got to treat the infection. The third level is shemizake chaseichel achilo yisavil aver. You should make it that you don't even have a taiva for that aver to begin with. Right? So a person should come to the realization how something which is against the Ratzon Hashem is so bad for us that we don't even want to do it. Right? If there's certain foods that, yeah, they maybe taste good or don't taste good, but they're so bad for you, right, that you don't even have a taiva for it. Right? They have such bad side effects. For example, let's say a person is lactose intolerant. Right? So yeah, they like the taste of pizza, but when someone puts out pizza, they don't even want it because the negative, what it does to them is so much worse than the hana of the pizza. They don't even bother. It's not even a yitzhar anymore. They don't even want it. right? So to be makir, how bad averes are to our neshama, and how bad going against the Ratzon Hashem is, then a person eventually targets the actual infection, and they don't have a taiva for it at all. So that's obviously the highest level. So the going is saying is that a person shouldn't, if their whole life they're going to be fighting, it's a problem. They're much better off if they can nip it in the bud and say, I'm not, this is not my taiva. I don't have a taiva for this anymore. I bet and don't want it. Okay? So that's the third level of the gun. Very interesting thing. And this is a very good, useful, it's a useful tool. It's a useful idea to know that instead of struggling and pushing ourselves in this, you know, pushing, we could always come up with a strategy to try to get to the core. All right? Okay, fine, we'll call it a night. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
All right, see you tomorrow. Good night. Thanks.
See you tomorrow.